Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. I can't believe, you know, how easily we... Actually, I can't believe it. When I see people get caught up into the problem du jour, and, in this most recent case, because I'm going to get to this, when we look at what's going on with Trump and this last indictment and everything else, and the way the progressives are driving this narrative, and the way everybody is responding to it, I just shake my head and go, you know, what's the point? I hate to have dead air, but I'm at a loss. And, you know, I don't prepare speeches. I do monologues, but I don't necessarily prepare them. I just have, okay, I'm going to want to talk about this. And so I'm going to be talking about what the real problem and how this isn't even a problem for Trump. As a matter of fact, this is a political exercise. I mean, they're doing everything they can with the color of law to really go after Trump. And so a lot of times we get, you know, there's this reverse psychology that is deployed as these ruses, as we think, oh, well, you know, they really don't want that guy, so let's go for that guy. And so we get played and we get manipulated to such a degree. And as a part of this Feedback Friday, for the past several weeks, I've been covering the candidates. I've really tried to be focused on covering the candidates. The candidate that I've kind of glossed over has been Trump. I was going to dive more into Larry Elder and basically state that, you know, out of all of the candidates, because I've been alluding to this, that Tim Scott, even though he's a swamp dweller and even though he's illiterate on the Constitution, because he's not talking about the Constitution. All of these people are illiterate on the Constitution. Even SCOTUS is illiterate, or actually I can't say they're illiterate, they're duplicit. In other words, they're doing things deliberately for political purposes. You can't tell me that last year's ruling on abortion to push it back to state issues wasn't integral in helping fire up. Maybe it wasn't last year, maybe it was 2 years ago. You know, everything's kind of blending today for me. But when we look at what is being done and every play on the board of our government from all three branches, let me ask you this. Do you have faith in any branch in our government today? Do you have faith in those key leaders like Mitchell or Mitch McConnell, I'm sorry, or Schumer or McCarthy or Pelosi or, you know, the gang? Or do you have any faith in any of these people? Oh, well, maybe Rand Paul, maybe Ted Cruz. I don't believe any of these players have any intent in taking us back to constitutional compliance. None. I have zero confidence that anyone will lead us in the right direction. As a matter of fact, I honestly think that there's people that believe that going down all these different paths, such as the sovereign citizens going down their path, or, you know, the convention of state, I believe those people really believe that that is the only way to do it. They've been so boxed into a paradigm that they can't see the forest through the trees. And, you know, this is actually all playing out because they're even talking about how these indictments are galvanizing the Republicans, or, you know, the conservative side of the voters really galvanizing them towards Trump. And I'm going, wow. In other words, it's almost like they're trying to make this that one issue. And who knows? They may actually succeed in creating the perception that Trump is guilty and he may, you know, go to jail and be eliminated. Then who? I'm going to tell you that I just don't see how this is going to bode well. I've been telling you the only thing that would bode well is to have a president who is ready and willing to execute the Constitution and only faithfully execute those laws that are constitutional and start pushing back and basically vetoing efforts. In other words, becoming the diehard and actually using the Department of Justice. And we're going to get into the Department of Justice because that's a part of this whole facade of this last grand jury. Because you've probably heard plenty of people talking about using the 1870 law that was passed. We're going to take a look at that today. But I don't want to spend too much time on that first. What I want to do is I need to get into a lot of other things. And so I have to kind of skim, I mean, a lot of other things. So I really have to skim over some of this stuff that I was hoping to do deeper dives into. Now, one of the things that I really need to point out, because this has kind of come up as a real issue, is how important liberty is. Not freedom, how important liberty is. And the integral parts of liberty, the most integral part of liberty, is the accountability and responsibility. In other words, whatever it is you do, you must be held accountable. You must be responsible. Now remember, we don't have a democracy. We don't have, you know, the ability to create felonious laws. All of our laws must be in pursuant to the Constitution, federal laws and state laws. Now, there are many things that are happening in your state today, folks, that are absolutely unconstitutional, which is why when we look at what the real problem is, most people are not moving in a concerted effort to actually knock down their playing board. In other words, we've got to knock over the table that their chess set is on. Knock it over just like Christ knocked over the tables in the temple with direct and deliberate action. In other words, we have to use the concept of liberty as that drive, as our fulcrum, because bottom line, when we hold our public servants accountable, we will see the change occur. Because bottom line, all people that will start moving forward will be those that are liberty-minded, willing to be held accountable. I am so sick and tired of dealing with people who are political actors. In other words, they deal in political theatrics. Political actors are those people who say, so, you know, in due time, we're going to do this, you know, we got to do this gradually. We got to, you know, and they don't want to truly expose, because they can't. As soon as they start exposing their plan, in other words, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because 9 times out of 10, one, they don't have a plan. And even more importantly, when you really start looking at what they're doing, it's all about compromise. Every time you put compromise on the table, we lose liberties. Maybe I'm just too hard. Maybe GR is just one of those guys that is unwielding and unbending on the truth. You know, it's about time somebody is. And it's about time we all really start clinging to the truth. So the next thing I really wanted to talk about, but that's a deep dive right there, liberty and how it is an integral into salvation of mankind and the salvation of this nation and its constitution. That's the topic. That was a deep dive topic I was planning on doing earlier on this week because of some feedback I had in dealing with a political actor. And, you know, there's an old saying, you can piss on my back, but don't tell me it's raining. And so most people think I'm a fool. Most people think that, oh, yeah, we're going to go ahead and, you know, I'm not going to recognize that. Don't play me for the fool. As a matter of fact, you're not fooling me. And as a matter of fact, every time I come back and say, this is what you've got to do, and you don't do those things, and I say, you got to do these things, and you don't do those things, and you actually position yourself for political theatrics, what? You think I can't recognize this? The reality, folks, is that we have to start holding people accountable now, not tomorrow. Not in a year or two, now. And as a matter of fact, I'm absolutely, you know, I'm just floored. I was going to say lambasted, but I'm floored. I am floored when I look at how people think that, oh, you know, because it's all about a piece of the pie for them. It's more about the power that they can gain, and it's more about the money and the opportunities that afford them on the stage of political theatrics instead of actually doing God's work. Because this is to clean up our government, to clean up this government that was established by our Creator, the divine hand of providence. It is a cut and dry process. It is clear. And there's no way you can do this without using petition. In other words, you can't do this without using his constitution. So let me move on. Because if you're not familiar with the First Amendment petitions, you need to really start listening to this show. And you need to start listening to what we're going to do, how to do this, because we're going to be getting into that. As we wrap up this content on the ratification debates, we're giving you the thorough view of the ratification debates, because if something happens to me, at least I gave it to you. And at least I can stand. I may have all sorts of sin that I have to account for, but at least I can say I did not neglect this responsibility. Because I believe you'll find somewhere in the scriptures, I think it's Isaiah, maybe Ezekiel, but somewhere in the scriptures you're going to find that they are speaking to us through the dust, or from the dust. And that's exactly what the ratification debates are. These are the framers explaining this compact, this constitution, from the dust by using the ratification debates. And the fact that it was written down is just mind-boggling. But anywho, let me move forward. One of the things that I would ask, you know, there's a lot to be said for starting to use fast and prayer and, you know, remonstrance and, you know, focus on what to do. And so this coming Sunday, because I should have actually started on Monday, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, kind of mentioned fasting so that we can all start fasting together. So, and my point is, we need to fast, and we need to fast and pray, and everybody needs to do this so that you continue your fast and prayer until you are moved to do something. Whatever that spirit is to move you, then, you know, I hate to say that, you know, the spirit will mislead you. If you are truly sincere in your prayer and fasting in what we need to do to save our Constitution and our laws and so forth, and this system that we've been blessed with, please give this a serious run and follow the Spirit. The Constitution gives us everything we need to force compliance and to actually take our government back. We have it. It's right there in the Constitution. Article 6, the oath of office, the First Amendment, the right to petition government for the redress of grievances, and Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, holding them accountable by removing them because they've perjured themselves by failing to support the Constitution, and in essence, banning them from public service as well as public profit. In other words, not being able to have a business. Most people don't understand public profit. Public profit is a registered business. In other words, you can't own a business if you violated Section 3. If you were a public servant and you're kicked out, I mean, you're relegated to an employee or what have you. You can't have a public profit position, which means what is that? What is a public profit position? Is there such a thing as public profit? We don't elect public profits. No, these are people who take it upon themselves to start a business to make money. Anyway, the next thing that I really wanted to get into is diesel companies. So, folks, we already see this huge movement right now. And don't think it's not going to happen in your state. It's happened in California. It's happened in Washington. It is happening in many, many states. And it's even the groundwork is being laid in many Republican governor states. And I say this because this is their agenda. They are moving us into a future where they have full control. Now, first off, there is no constitutional standing in any state where a governor has the authority to tell you to create an edict and actually to basically go to the legislature to have them pass a law that mandates that you have to give up a fossil fuel vehicle for an electric vehicle by a certain year. That power is not bestowed upon any government in this republic. I haven't seen one, not even Washington State's constitution, gives the governor and the state legislature that type of authority. These are assumed powers that they have no authority behind them. The only authority is the bureaucracy of the federal government telling them that they need to do these things, or the lobbyists that are for the 2030 or the 30 by 30, whatever, the Agenda 21, the original name of this, Agenda 21. And that movement, the lobbyists are trying to push all of these things. They're trying to take away your property. They're trying to control you every step of the way. So this is really what has kind of side-railed my whole discussion today, because even though we see our property rights eroding and we see all these other things, we need to really back up, folks. We need to look at the macro view. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of lay a few things out. But before I do that, I need to get into a few other things, and then I'll do this, this big picture view for you. And then I will dive into Trump and what's going on. So we'll probably hit that after the break, because we got about 6 minutes. So let me ask you this, and this is a tickler. Where in the Constitution does it say that we cannot have a president from the same state? Now, I've even caught myself in saying that, but that's not in the Constitution. And I challenge you to actually go find where it states and it talks about the election or the outcome of a president and vice president that reside in the same state. Is it possible? Can we actually have a president and vice president from the same state? That's a question. I want you to do the due diligence. I want you to look into that. And so let me see here. Well, let me just go ahead and dive into what we have to do. When we look at the big picture, let's actually look at the end or what they're trying to drive us to, Communist China. What is it that they've deployed in Communist China that, we should be very fearful of? What is it that they're doing in the Chinese Communist Party and in China? What is the Chinese Communist Party doing in China that should cause us to stop, pause, and go, we cannot allow these things to continue. Now, first off, one of the things that everybody knows that they're doing is that they have they've moved everything to a digital currency. In other words, you can't spend any money, and a part of that digital currency is basically taking away actual physical money. You've heard me say that money is the ultimate in property. If you took all of your property, and this is what happens at the end of a person's life. You take all their property and you actualize that into a pile of money. When you basically take some person's estate, you quantify everything by either money or especially if they didn't have a will on how to divide everything. That's really when you do this. But if they had a will and this house goes there and the rest of the stuff gets divvied out evenly, then what you have to do is you have to sell their clothes, you have to sell all of their property, unless they've actually bequeathed those things out to different people, because that's a part of the will. But if that's never been done, and how many people have died where there's been zero wills? Do you have a will? Hopefully you do. And I recommend everybody have a will. But if you don't have a will, by law, it is all supposed to go into probate. All of it's supposed to go into probate. Every single article that you possess. It has to be either, sold or donated or handed out by an executor or what have you. But the epitome or the ultimate actualization of your property is when you transition that into currency. In other words, it becomes a dollar figure. It could be bars and bars and bars of gold or what have you, but it becomes a tangible amount of property, because money is property. It is the liquid form of property. In other words, once you've taken all of this, you can hand it to somebody else and they can go buy themselves their own house. That currency is the tangible medium for actually acquiring property. And it is in the transaction of that currency for the property where you're able to get that. So a digital currency is no longer property. And it is absolutely controlled by those who control the ones and zeros. And in our case, it's going to be the federal government. And in actuality, it will become this global government, because the federal government has established the portal for this digital dollar, this digital currency, to be migrated into the unicoin. So when we kind of look at, what's going on in China, I've got just a minute left. So what's going on in China is they've taken away their property. In other words, they've taken away their currency. What else have they done? Well, they've passed laws that actually allow them to control you. And so one of the most important laws that they have to pass is facial recognition laws. It was no big deal in China. They just did it. But in America, there's this thing called the Bill of Rights that actually protects you. Then we're to be secure in our person so that government can't just be monitoring you for the sake of monitoring. They have to, for them to be monitoring all the people, they actually have to have a warrant for them to collect the fact that you were here at this point in time. What they are doing, what they're creating in this 1984, this police state that they've already done in China, that they're doing here in creating this camera system. So here's the question I have. How many states out there, how many states have a facial recognition camera system? In other words, they're monitoring you in what states? What state is actually... Here's the better question. We're going into break. This is perfect timing, too. Perfect timing. Going into the break, you ponder and you think and you try to list the states where there is no facial recognition systems deployed at all. And I will give you the answer to that when we come back from the break. So, hey, stay tuned, and I'm going to answer that question in just a sec.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so many of you have probably deduced that some of these very, very rural states, you know, Wyoming, Montana, the Dakotas, you know, maybe those are the four states you've probably come up with, you know, and that's where the smart money's on, right? Because that's really rural, that's really dark red states. So how many of you have come up with, you know, maybe Missouri or Iowa, or maybe, how about Idaho? You know, is Idaho in that list? Is Idaho in your list of that state does not have any facial recognition systems and technology? They're, you know, they won't allow that to happen. Well, I'm here to tell you folks, every state, all 50 states, have digital facial recognition technology deployed. Every state. Your state has already started implementing it. Whether they've done it legally, actually, that's an oxymoron. They can't do that legally. It is a direct violation of the Fourth Amendment. You have a right to be secure in your person and your effects, regardless of where you are. That is not limited to your home. You can go wherever you go, you have a right. And actually, this has been held up, such as cars and so forth. In your person, you have a right. I mean, they just can't open up and start searching you and saying, what do you got? What are you doing? For them to survey you, for the government to actually monitor you, to basically say, we're keeping track of these people. And all they have to do is have a facial recognition system, and they just go, hey, have we seen this guy? And it doesn't have to be, you know, for this maniacal thing. Hey, we're looking for the parent of this child because this child is lost. They have actually violated your rights to do that. If they say, yeah, he was hit on the facial recognition system in Casper, Wyoming. Folks, when you really start looking, now we're kind of at a bird's eye view of America. They're already, Biden has already created unconstitutionally an executive order. He has no legislative power, but he's created an executive order that mandated us moving to a digital currency. There have been efforts at the state level to actually implement this facial recognition technology. Now, there are spots in states, very rural areas, where they don't have facial recognition technology. And folks, I would probably start, I'd find out, and actually what I'm going to do, because I have a map of the United States that currently identifies all of the systems that are out there. And Amazon, by the way, is a big player in this technology. It's called the Amazon Ring. And many states have actually just implemented the Amazon Ring and that technology. And even though that may be a private source, where are they getting the data for your biometrics? They have to get that from the state. Because every state has implemented biometrics facial recognition technology as a part of your driver's license. Okay, so when we start looking at just a few pieces on the table here, at a bird's eye view, what the heck do you think our government is doing? Now, they're moving us towards a digital currency. They're mandating exactly what energy you're going to be able to use for your car and even for your home. They're going down this path of basically outlawing any form of energy other than electrical. You have to be a part of their gig or their what we call the infrastructure or the network, what have you. But anyway, you have to be a part of this. And your electric car will be a part of that. When we look at whatever it is and whatever you do, they're going to be following you and they're going to be putting us on. And as a matter of fact, the digital currency bills actually do create a social credit system. It is actually moving us and implementing precisely what was done in the Chinese Communist Republic. I keep on saying party, but it's actually the Chinese Communist Republic or the Republic of China. Bottom line, folks, regardless of, you know, how tongue-twisted I am, where do you see any gleaming hope with our current players? They're allowing all of these things in every state, and it's happening. I mean, we've been successful in stopping digital currency, but that is not a win. That may be one of those things you go, oh, that's good. But we're no closer to getting a win until we actually start getting rid of these public servants, period. So I can't emphasize enough that you have to look at the big picture and then you have to start understanding what it is and why we have to go down this path. So what is it? This is tyranny. And the only way that we can actually get people educated on the tyranny and get people engaged and invigorated in fighting tyranny is by educating them. Now, how do we educate them? What is the process to doing that? Well, you can't get people into a classroom, but you can start getting them to... you can't force. It's like that horse and water thing. You can't force people to learn. But you can start getting them invigorated by actually having these little, I'll call them teasers, get rid of Biden now. Exercise the 12th Amendment and get rid of Biden today. That would be a great little sign. Exercise the 12th Amendment and we'll get rid of Biden today. Because bottom line, there is a legal case, an irrefutable case, that the Electoral College was inept and unable to actually choose the president because we couldn't get 270 constitutional electors. There was only 138. So what is it going to take to get you to actually stand up against digital currency? What's it going to take to get you to stand up against, you know, this seizure of, you know, our property and our rights? What is it going to take to actually stand up and dictate what energy you're going to use and consume? So one of the things that kind of came to me, and I started talking about this in the previous section, in the previous segment, not section, and about diesel companies. Now, diesel companies have basically been told they're evil, and that when I say a diesel company, I don't mean just Cummins. I would actually expect and I would encourage everybody to call Cummins and ask them what are they doing to basically stop government from taking diesel and their superior engines away from the people. I'm not sure if you understand, folks, but the Cummins engine is probably, bar none, the best diesel engine out there. And, you know, this emissions and... You know, diesel has been given a bad rap because it has black smoke that comes out of it. But that soot actually is very easy to clean. When it comes to carcinogens in our environment, diesel is the least of our worries. Your cars, you know, that are already tuned with the EPA, they put more carcinogens in the air than your diesel engine. Even when you see these big plumes of smoke, your diesel engine is far cleaner for the environment than all the other cars. So why is it that they're going after diesel? Why? Are you know, actually, the big picture is they're going after all fossil fuels. But why is it that they want to control diesel? Because they have not, until the 2000s, diesel was never a part of the emission standards. It wasn't until, I think, shortly after Volkswagen was outed for, you know, not abiding by emission standards, and the fact that they were even trying to have emission standards. Where is the constitutional authority for emission standards, for the EPA? There is none. This is all the color of law. So contact Cummings. Go to your neighborhood businesses. You want to get support? I'm going to tell you that these people that are seeing their livelihoods threatened, that they've got maybe 5-10 years, well, maybe I ought to start learning how to... No. Stand up and defend your business and start helping us, because we need businesses to actually start funding some of the advertising and getting people educated, you know, getting them engaged and pointing them to the petitions. And this is where we can create symbiotic relationships. I've talked about, you know, businesses that are being adversely affected. There are whole market spaces that are being adversely affected today. You know, any manufacturer of hydroelectric turbines or any of these things that are they're in the line of sight for these companies, or I should say these states, to actually get rid of that type of production of energy. Well, they're the perfect candidates, because they see the threat. They already see the gun pointed at their head. We need to be appealing to them to say, you can stand up and fight this, and we'll show you. We'll actually write, like the coal industry. I have reached out, and I've not had the time to follow this through. But we need people in the states to actually start doing this, to actually, as you start getting organized, you should have a small little cadre of team that actually goes out to bring money into the organization to help educate. Remember, this is not money that goes into your pocket. None of this money goes into any pocket. This money goes to the cause. The day we start putting money in our pocket is the day we will no longer be blessed by the divine hand of providence. The divine hand of providence will continually bless us as long as this is not a self-serving issue. He's not here to make you rich. He's not, his interests are not those types of interests. It is ensuring that the salvation of man can move forward, and ensuring that we do everything we can to arrest the evil that is coming down the pike for us. So I've given you, you know, some things to think about. When we really start looking at the battle board, at a bird's eye view, you can actually start seeing all of these things being manifested. Your campaign strategies ought to be focused on this, and your strategy in identifying the vulnerable organizations, people, and so forth, that would actually, you know, it would only be common sense that they would get involved. If they care about saving their business, you know, I can't imagine you being a green ideologue, you know, this anti-fossil fuel ideologue, and being a diesel mechanic. I can't see that happening. Is it possible? Maybe, but 9 times out of 10, chances are no. So now let's focus on Trump. In 1870, the Constitution actually had an amendment, and that was what we call the 15th Amendment, yeah. And it was proposed, actually, in 1869 and ratified in 1870. And so this is because there's a bill out there. There is a law, and I actually downloaded the bill. I'm in the process of that. It's a lot longer, all the amendments and everything else, and it boggles my mind that they've gone down this path. But to be clear, these amendments are the limitations of what they can actually legally go after. And so this is what it says. The rights of the citizen of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. Now, you're hearing, and this was actually on Fox News yesterday, that they're basically, the prosecution is pulling up this enactment of this bill or this amendment to the Constitution. There was a bill that basically went out and they created this bill to go out and enforce against states and players that were denying people of color the freemen from being able to vote in America. And so this I see this as a very good amendment. You know, they should have actually, you know, probably taken all of these voting amendments and done away with them and actually created a nice, clean amendment that all U.S. citizens, regardless of race, gender, or of the age of 18 and older, have the right to vote. They cannot be abridged by, you know, poll tax or anything. So we could actually create a single amendment. Why didn't they do that? But when we read these amendments, they didn't grant the federal government any power other than to ensure that the right of people of a particular demographic, and in this particular case, on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude, cannot be denied the right to vote. So what kind of law can they go out and create? And think about this, folks. How did Donald Trump in the 2020 election deny any person the right to vote? See, it's one thing to challenge the veracity of the election, but to stop somebody from casting that vote is what this law is. In other words, this amendment basically makes it so that you cannot stop them. If you stop somebody, once they voted, then their rights have been exercised and nobody can be charged a crime against this amendment or against the laws that they passed. So when we actually look at election fraud and somebody going in and expunging or playing with, you know, if the federal government passed a law that basically says you cannot, you know, manipulate, remove, or anything like that, any votes casted, that is not a power granted here. The power granted is to ensure access to voting and for all people of all colors and or, you know, conditions of previous servitude, what have you, their access to be able to go fill out a ballot and submit that ballot for voting. In other words, their right to vote, not the right in the accounting or what have you. And so that basically comes down to state laws, where states can't pass laws or shouldn't be passing laws that, you know, create outcomes, political outcomes. But they do, because that's what they've been doing. They've created these laws, and as a matter of fact, the 31 states that moved to this all mail-in ballot, the 31 states, because of the pandemic, that implemented this corrupt system. I hope to have some people on this show to talk about this, but the fact of the matter is that those 31 states that actually changed the outcome of those votes, well, then they're the ones that are committing the voter fraud, the system itself. How did Donald Trump actually change the outcome of how those things were counted? Actually, all he was doing was he was saying, and he didn't coerce anybody. You know, they're talking about the freedom of speech and everything else. Did the President of the United States actually exercise authority by directing the commander, or I should say the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to deploy the military to go and confiscate anything. No. Did he do anything other than saying, you know, we've got to challenge this? How do we, and I told him in 2020, right after the election, that he should actually send out the Department of Justice and audit. There is no reason why every election can't be audited to ensure the veracity. If there is an inkling that shows in one state foul play, then that state is wide open. And folks, almost every state in the union had inklings of foul play. In other words, we don't have elections anymore where there's not suspect. As a matter of fact, in Spokane alone, out of the state of Washington, there are at least 3,500 ballots that are highly suspect. In other words, it's been proven that these have to be challenged. So you don't just keep counting those types of ballots. There has to be an audit so that you can say, okay, these ballots are, you know, have been verified good. If for any reason there is a ballot that has to be suspect, for any reason, it must be removed. We cannot just count any type of, I mean, we might as well just let China vote. We might as well just let everybody vote and see where the chips fall, right? No. The only persons that have the right to vote, and it's proven that is their ballot, okay, then those ballots are counted. But if it's a questionable ballot, it cannot be counted. And so the reason why the Democrats and the progressives have gone hell-bent in making sure that those ballots are cast, are actually counted, is and not audited, is because they know that all of these suspect ballots will actually be pushed out and not counted, and it will be discovered, and maybe even their methods. We already saw with 2,000 mules how they were harvesting ballots. We already saw how and I cannot believe that the harvesting of a ballot, in other words, somebody giving you a blank ballot and allowing you to vote for them, that ballot cannot count. You do not have the right to vote for all of these people. And when people are handing over blank ballots and allowing the Democrats or the harvesters, which has primarily been the Democrats, the harvesters, to be able to fill those ballots out, every single one of those ballots is invalid. It has to be invalid. You have a right to vote, and you have a right that your vote be counted. These other people don't have a right to vote multiple times and have those votes counted. And that's what we're talking about. So bottom line, the attack has to be on the fact that the president actually never exercised his authority whatsoever in trying to change those outcomes. But he does have a right and a responsibility to ensure the veracity of the election. Now, there's nowhere in the Constitution where that has happened, but based on the outcomes, he can actually challenge, and actually, I believe, because it is a federal election, and these people that are being, you know, pursued, whether they be representatives or senators, and if it's the year of the presidential election, the importance of having an accurate counting system based on the laws of the land must be enforced. And I believe that the president can and should have audited these elections, period. But I don't believe anybody, because what he should have done was he should have gone in with the state and cooperated and oversaw and ensured that the state was up and up in actually proving every ballot that was counted. We can only count those valid ballots. Not all ballots are to be counted. And that's the paradigm that the progressives are driving. And that's exactly what they're trying to do with this upcoming election laws and the changes. There's a reason why, folks, that the 31 states that changed the manner in how we choose the president, there's a reason why they have not undone those laws. So the question is, if you've got a red state, you've got, you know, what you call conservatives, why is it that the conservatives in that state have failed to do and unpeel those laws that were created during the pandemic that should never have been created? Got to remember, in 2021, the lockdowns were still going down, right? I mean, how many sessions were in session in 2021? It wasn't until 2022 when they could have started reversing these things. But even then, still, some states were being locked down. But not one, I'm not aware of one state that has undone these unconstitutional laws. And if they were changed by a governor, they still stand today as an unconstitutional law. If they were changed by a judge or a secretary of state and not by the state legislature, they're unconstitutional. And we have to actually peel them back. We have to get rid of those laws because they weren't constitutionally done. Okay, so when you start looking, and I'm going to pull up this 1870 law, we're probably going to find that maybe the federal government was aggrandizing some of their power. Maybe, because that's what the prosecution that was briefed yesterday is saying. I'm convinced that when you look at the Constitution, that the rights of the citizens cannot be abridged for them to vote. This only speaks to their access to the ballot and their ability to cast that ballot. That's it. Beyond that, the outcome, the counting, and all of that, there are other laws that have that the federal government does not have the jurisdiction, other than because if you look in the Constitution, that each house is supposed to actually validate each of the outcomes for their representation. In other words, the Senate and the House have and are supposed to implement a process, and it's right there in the Constitution. Now, I'm not going to read it out, but you'll find this in Article 1. And when we go through the Constitution, we'll prove this. But because that's there, that they have these responsibilities, the president can actually exercise that because that's a part of the law. And if the Senate and the House of Representatives aren't validating it, then there's no reason why he can't do that for them because it does arise under the Constitution. And there's a reason for it, and there's a reason why these scoundrels in the House and in the Senate are deliberately allowing voter fraud and election fraud to occur. And it's the reason why they accepted an unconstitutionally formed electoral college in 2021. Pence committed treason, and everything he says out of his face is a lie. Because he should not have accepted an unconstitutionally formed electoral college, and he was given the evidence and the petition that he had a responsibility to actually either refute and then go forward and accept it, which he didn't do. He just blindly ignored the assertion because he couldn't prove it wrong. And he actually did, and basically he committed treason. And he was deliberate in his treasonous act because he was notified beforehand. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.